Today, coincidentally, I have a message, and I've had this message prepared for this day for a long time, and it's on the family of God. And coincidentally, it happens on the day that we present new members. And today, we have had the privilege and pleasure of having several individuals and families that officially have joined our Crossroads family as members. And these folks were not content with just sitting on the sidelines, so to speak, but they made an earnest decision to attend 5 different classes to become a member of this church. They attended a class called Discovering Crossroads 101, where they learn about what Crossroads believes and what we're all about. Then after that, they attended a series of 4 classes about what we believe regarding salvation, the Holy Spirit, prayer, and also the Word of God, the Bible. And then even after that, they had to meet with myself or my wife Kathy or another director in our church for an individual meeting. And then here we are today, we have presented them, and they've taken that last step of commitment of becoming an official member of Crossroads. And essentially, by doing this, they are saying this. They're saying, hey, I am on board. I'm on board with what God is doing here. They're excited about what God is doing at Crossroads and how God is using this church in the community, how God is using this church in their own lives through the preaching, through the music, through the ministries, through the love of the people. Hey, they love what they're getting here at Crossroads. Amen. But now, by becoming a member of Crossroads, it's not so much about what they can get, but now it's about what they can give. And when it becomes about what you can give, in addition to what you can get, that's when you go into Jesus mode. Because Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. You see, and when that happens, man, it takes on a whole new dimension. Because these men and women, they've taken that next step in their faith, in their walk, in their relationship with the Lord, and becoming official members. They've committed. They've committed. They said, hey, I'll give financially. I'll give regularly. I'll commit to serve the Lord and volunteer in a ministry. I'll commit to be used of God no matter what he wants me to do in this place. They're committed. And I thank God for committed Christians. Amen? Because if it wasn't for committed Christians, we could never move forward. And at Crossroads, we're not a church that's stagnant. We don't want to stay still, but we want to be continually moving forward for Jesus Christ. Amen? And in order for us to do that, we need committed Christians. Whew. Amen. Commitment. That's a good thing, isn't it? Commitment is a good thing. Do you realize commitment is a good thing? And there are some people that are so committed. Like, for instance, look at this picture on the screen. Would you say they're committed? I would say they're probably a buffalo from that picture. I found that picture on the web this morning. I'm assuming it's from, it's a recent picture. But, you know, some people are so committed. These people, they're committed to football. Regardless of the rain, the sleet, the snow. I used to be a mailman, by the way, in case you didn't know. It doesn't matter. They're there with snow piled on top of their bodies. And it doesn't matter because they are committed. To God be the glory if we would be that committed to the things of God. But there's some people that struggle with commitment. They can't commit or they can't stay committed. Maybe in a relationship, they bounce from person to person to person. Maybe in a friendship, they just can't commit to staying friends with someone. Some can't commit to sticking with a job. Some have trouble committing themselves to the things of God. Hey, why don't you come with me to church on Sunday? Why don't you come with me to my small group Bible study? I can't come because I have a commitment. But when you ask somebody that, you know and I know they don't really have a commitment. They're just telling you that because they are committed, but they're committed to things in their world that exclude God. But we want to have them included in the things that include God and what God is doing in this world, and we have to help them to change that. I would say the greatest earthly commitment that a person can make is marriage. That's a commitment. When you say, I do, you start learning phrases such as, yes, dear. And not my will, but your will be done. Somebody in our church invited Kathy and I to lunch on Friday, so they took us to lunch at Peach Valley Cafe. And the server came up to take our order, and she looked at me and she said, sir, what would you like? What are you having? And I looked at Kathy and I said, what am I having? And she said, you're going to have the harvest pancake. And I looked at the waitress and said, I'm having the harvest pancake. You see, that earthly commitment of marriage is so important. But even beyond that, the greatest commitment that you and I can make, earthly or spiritually, is to become a follower of God. And you see, the people that we're celebrating today that officially joined the church, we're celebrating in them joining our church family, but it's important for us to know that it's part of a bigger picture because they're already part of a family. They're already part of the family of God. And before we present them to you as new members like we did this morning, we give them a Bible lesson about salvation. And we check on their salvation. If they're not sure whether or not they are saved, we help them to be sure. We show them how they can be saved. You see, after they know for sure that they're saved, they type out their testimony and they share it with us. You see, what I tell people when Kathy and I meet with somebody for membership at that very last step before we present them to you as a member officially, I tell them this. I say, hey, we only have one prerequisite if you want to become an official member of this family at Crossroads. And that one prerequisite is this, and that is that you're a part of his family, that you're part of the family of God. That's the only prerequisite that we have. You're part of his family, part of his body, the body of Christ. If you look with me here in Ephesians, our text today, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 4, Ephesians 4, 4. The Bible says this. It says there is how many bodies? One body and one spirit, even as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and where? And in you all. Having a group of strangers come together like we have this morning in church and expecting them to be a family can seem like a difficult endeavor. We come from so many different backgrounds. You know, we have people from North Carolina. We have people from Missouri. We have people from Kentucky. We have people from Texas, from California. We had somebody this morning, even in our church, from Brooklyn. We have people from different backgrounds. We have different ideas about different topics. We're all raised differently. We possess different goals and different agendas. I would say that unity in the church would be an absolute impossibility if it was just left up to us. But you know what the good news is? It's not up to us. It's up to him. God has brought people together from every imaginable background, and he has made them all one in Jesus Christ. Jews that were born under the Old Testament law and subject to the law, and Gentiles that have come to faith through the grace of God are now members of the same body, Apostle Paul teaches us. You see, the foundation of us being a church family does not rest in our ability to get along with one another. Sometimes family members don't get along, do they? Even in our physical family, you probably have had some squabbles with your parents, with your kids, with your siblings, you name it. But again, the point is this: the foundation of us being united as a family doesn't rest in our ability to get along with each other. Our unity in the body of Christ rests upon the common elements that we all share together as being in the body. And that's what we're looking at here today in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. The Apostle Paul writes, all these seven things that are listed are freely given to us by the grace of God. They are the fruit of our relationship with Him. And Paul mentions these seven common elements that all believers share in Jesus Christ. And he groups these elements into three areas. And these three areas serve to teach us that the church, being a family, comes from the Godhead, the Trinity. Every member of the Trinity is involved. I love that song you chose, Bill, right before the message today. It ties in so well with this point. You know, if you look at it with me one more time in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 4, we see the Spirit, capital S. Verse number 5, we see the Lord, capital L. And verse number 6, we see the word God, capital G. And just as there's unity in the Godhead, in the Trinity, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three in one, or one God that exists in three persons. There's unity also in the family of God. There's one family that consists of many members, many persons. Why? Because there's unity because of our relationship with God through Jesus Christ. We're a family because of the Spirit that you and I possess. The Spirit is greatly involved in the unity of the body. Notice what the Bible says here again in verse number 4. It says, there is one body. Do you see that? In Ephesians 4, it says one body, not what is considered, you know, multiple bodies. For instance, when he says one body, what does he mean by the one body? That one body is not Crossroads Church of Daytona Beach. That one body is the church of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It doesn't say one congregation. The body of Christ is bigger than Crossroads. There's one body, and that one body is the church. And if you're saved, you're a member of the church. You're a member of the body. And the church is a spiritual body with Jesus Christ as the head. And again, it's not one church. It's not one denomination. Because I know sometimes we get hung up on this thing about denominations, and you know that denomination's wrong and we're right, or maybe they're right and maybe we got something wrong. It's not about denominations. Sometimes we think, hey, if you're not a Baptist, you're not going to heaven. And I don't know about that, because I think there might be some people out there that claim to be Baptist that might not make it. The question is not whether or not you are a member of this denomination or that denomination, whether you're a Baptist, a Methodist, a Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Catholic, you name it. The question is this: have you given your heart to Jesus? Hey, my dad passed away a few years ago. My dad was raised in Rome, Italy. He was raised Roman Catholic. He was about as Catholic you can get. It wasn't until later on in life that he started attending a Baptist church. But right before my dad passed, it wasn't about being Catholic. It wasn't about being Baptist. You know, the words that my dad said as he laid in that bed right before he passed away, my dad quoted words that are Jesus. And my dad said these words. He said, Jesus said, Whoever believes in me shall never die. That's what he said. Whoever. Physically, yes, we know we're going to die. But spiritually, no. You get that new body in heaven, which is better looking than the body you got now. That is better than the body you got now. You see, that body that we're going to get in heaven that's talked about in Scripture in 1 Corinthians 15, it says that it's going to be a perfect body. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. It's immortal. It's no longer susceptible to sickness. I don't know about you, but if you heard me 2 weeks ago, I was up here preaching and my voice was barely coming across, and praise the Lord that there will be no more sickness. Amen. We're going to have a body that's no longer susceptible to pain. Amen. And a body that's no longer susceptible to death. This is the body, the Bible says, that is reserved for you in heaven. So the question is this. Have you been born again? In addition to having a physical birthday that we all have and we all enjoy, do you have that spiritual birthday? Do you have that day that you've prayed and you've asked Jesus to forgive your sins and come into your heart and life? If you haven't, then you need to. And you need to get that settled today. Every week after the service, we hang out up here and we also have people in that back room, the reception room, that are ready not only to pray with anybody that needs prayer, but they're ready to receive anybody that needs Jesus. And if that's you, don't delay. Don't hesitate. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We need Christ today. And I want to tell you this. I want to tell you, and I want to say that although if you are a believer in Christ and you're part of the body, you're part of the church, you still need to be part of a local church, whether it's Crossroads or another local church. You need to do that. And you might say, hey, why? We go over the reasons for that in our very first class for new members called Discovering Crossroads 101. And you might say, hey, you know, if you're not a member of Crossroads officially, if you're here today, you're not a member of Crossroads officially, of course, you are welcome to come to church. You're welcome to attend. You're welcome to worship. You're welcome to enjoy and use any of the ministries in our church to help you. That's what we're here for. But I want you to know this, that God's plan for your life is that you need to become a member of a local church. That's what's best for you. And that's what's best for those that are around you. You might say, why is that? That's the commitment that you need in your life. I heard a story about a man who came to the church for the first time to visit, and he talked to the music minister, and he said, hey, I would love to sing on your praise team. And the music minister asked this question of him. He said, well, what church do you belong to? Are you a member of this church? And the gentleman said, nope. I'm not a member of this church. Well, what church are you a member of? I'm a member of the invisible church. And then the music minister said, okay, well, you can sing on the invisible praise team. You see, the thing about it is this, is that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 gives a great illustration of our human body, the physical body. And each part of our body has a function in order for the body to work in the way that it's intended to work, right? The eyes are for seeing. The ears are for hearing. Exactly. We know this. But in that same way, you know, we interact with the world around us with our physical bodies every day. But in that same way, God interacts with the world through his spiritual body, through us, the body of Christ, and he uses us, the members of his body, to serve him, to spread the gospel, to live out the truths of his word, and so on. So I want you to get this. This is important. We are placed in this universal body of Christ when we're saved. Then we find our place in the local body, in the local church, where we can use those spiritual gifts that we've been given by the Holy Spirit for the glory of God. That's God's plan. That's God's plan for you. That's God's plan for me. And regardless of what part that you occupy in this body of Christ, regardless of where you function in this body of Christ, in this local church, again, we are still united together with all believers in Christ as the family of God. And that won't change. You see, not only is there one body, but the Bible says that there's one spirit. One spirit in verse number 4. Romans 8 verse 9 says this. It says on the screen, "Now if any man hath not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And the Bible says you're not a child of God if you don't have his spirit. But the good news is this. When we are saved, the Spirit of God came to live in our hearts, and we literally became the temple of God. The Bible says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. It says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells where? In you." The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit living in the child of God. And because of that, Galatians 4, 6 tells us this. Paul wrote to the Galatians and said to the believers, he said, because you are sons of God, believers, God has sent forth into our hearts the Spirit of his Son, crying, Abba, Father. We can call God our heavenly Father. You know, when I start off my prayers, I usually pray and I say, Dear Heavenly Father. Because I know that I'm a son of God because of my belief in him. And this thing about us having God's Spirit within us, you know, is a concept that some people don't get outside of this umbrella of Christianity. I teach a class at Daytona State College. Several people in here have gone through that class where we compare the different religions of the world to Christianity. And in Buddhism, this is a foreign concept to them. In Buddhism, they teach that we're just a skin bag. And there's nothing inside. But according to the Bible, there is something inside. According to the Bible, what's inside of us is God's Holy Spirit that's taken up residence in me and in you if you're saved. So that way when my flesh, when the devil, when the world tries to draw me into sin, the Spirit inside of me says, uh-uh. The Spirit inside of me says, I don't think so. Oh, no, you don't. Don't go there. Don't say that. Don't do that. The Spirit says, I need you in here. I need you in my word. It's my job to teach you. The Holy Spirit is the substance of our life. It's the secret of our strength in order for us to thwart sin and fight temptation. The Holy Spirit is the integral part of us being a family. The Holy Spirit is the one that binds us together, that tells us we belong to one another. Now, most of us here in this room don't know everybody else's name. I could try starting with Cody and working my way up and down each seat and each row to identify everybody by name, but I would struggle with that. I don't think anybody else could do that. Only God knows. But here's the thing. Most of us here don't know everybody else's name, but we all know that the Holy Spirit dwells in each and every one of us as believers. That Holy Spirit that's in me is also in you, and that Holy Spirit that's in you is also in me. And not only does God's Spirit bear witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God, but God's Spirit bears witness with my spirit that we all belong to one another and we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Amen. And there's no age barrier with that. You can have an 8-year-old kid with an 88-year-old man, and they be brothers in Christ. It's an incredible thing. This same Spirit, the Holy Spirit that placed us in the body of Christ and took residence up in our heart, it's the presence of that Holy Spirit that gives us the assurance of our salvation. The Bible says this, just as Paul wrote to those Galatian believers earlier, now he's writing to the believers in Rome, and in Rome, he wrote this to the Romans. He says, you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby they also, just like those believers in Galatia, those believers in Rome could say, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are all the children of God. That means every single one of us in here that are believers have a deep family connection. Regardless of the color of our skin, regardless of our background, regardless of our finances, regardless of our education level, regardless of what we do for a living, regardless of anything else you want to throw in there. If we're saved, that Holy Spirit that dwells within each one of us unites us all in the Lord. Amen? That same Spirit that quickened you and made you alive to the things of God is that same Spirit that quickened me and made me alive to the things of God. And so now we can take steps. Because of the Spirit that dwells in us, we can take steps not to sit on the sidelines and just sing, "Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." But now we can go beyond that. And we can say, because of God's grace and me being a trophy of God's grace, God wants me to shine as that trophy for everyone to see what he's done in my life. And that doesn't come from staying in your closet. That comes by being a committed Christian and participating in things like Walk Through Bethlehem, to where others come on those nights of December 14th, 15th, 16th, 17th, and they come here and they wonder what's going on. What have they built in their back lot? What's the meaning of all this? Why have they spent tens and tens and tens and tens of thousands of dollars in order to build this city and do everything? I mean, it's costly. Just one day to rent a forklift is $1,000. I mean, it's so costly to do this ministry. People come here and they just wonder, and they wonder, you know, why are they doing this and giving it to the community for free and not charging? It's because we have committed Christians at Crossroads. It's because we have people that willingly and faithfully give financially week in and week out. We have people that serve. We have people that say, "Hey, yes, I will give a couple of hours each night to be here and shine as a testimony, as a trophy of God's grace." Why? So that way people might come and they might see that shiny trophy and they say shiny things attract. May they be attracted to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God's goal, that's God's goal, is that others might see what he's done in our life and be attracted to him. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? And as we're here today, and as we reflect on the message of God's word, I want to mention this to you as we are thinking about what we've received today from his word. In Ephesians chapter 4, 4 through 6, every one of those seven things, think about this, have to do with the Lord. It's when we get in the way, when trouble comes. Trouble comes when we get in the way of what God is trying to do in our life. May your prayer, may my prayer this morning be, "Lord, get me out of the way. Allow your Holy Spirit in me to work through me, to be that shining light, to be that trophy of your grace, because I know not only is it going to help me, but it's going to help those around me to see the love and the light of Christ in me." With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, maybe you're here today, and we've talked about this family of God. We've talked about being part of this one body, and you're not there. You might say, "Pastor Rich, I am not part of the family of God. I have never made a decision to ask God to forgive my sins. I've never placed my faith in what Jesus did for me on the cross. I am not part of the family of God." I encourage you today, if that's you, don't leave this place until you get that right with God. We are here for you. Please come see us at the end of the service. And all you have to do is say these three words. Just say, "I need Jesus. I need Jesus." This past week, in the middle of the week, our Connection Center, our coffee house, our playground is open during the week. We had a man run in the front doors of this building in the middle of the week, and he said those three words. He said, "I need Jesus." He screamed those words. And Cody, our outreach director, was able to talk to this man that needed Jesus. Well, it's not the middle of the week. It's Sunday morning, and you're here. You're here for a purpose. You're here for a reason. Don't let this time slip away. Come to Jesus. If you're here today and you've got burdens that are weighing you down, know that you can always turn them over to Jesus. He has said, cast all your care upon him because he cares for you. He wants to take that weight off your back, and he wants to carry your load. And he's promised that he'll do that for you, but you have to lay it at his feet, and he'll be there for you. Lord Jesus, whatever our need is here today, you know what it is. May you, Lord, work in our hearts, work in our lives. Help us to realize all the blessings that we have in Christ here during this Thanksgiving week. Lord, you have been so good to us. We have so much to be thankful for. Help us never forget it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.